Good morning and welcome to Hawaii Matters. My name is Devin. I am your host for this morning's show. And we are welcoming to the program. All right, I'm going to try and make sure I get this correct. We have Thomas. Thomas, I'm sorry, your last name?
Remington.
Thomas Remington from the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council.
You got it.
And we have with him also Ruhul Amin, who is with NOAA, NOAA, Pacific Islands Fisheries Science Center. Right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. That's the end of the show. That took like 30 minutes for us to do. I'm just kidding. It's nice to have you gentlemen here today. Thank you very much for joining us. Now, the reason they're here is because we're actually talking about the Fishers Forum, which is going to be coming up soon, June 25th to be exact. And it's called Fishing in the Future, Emerging Technologies in Fisheries.
Yeah, that's right. So we're putting together a Fishers Forum. The council throws this event three times a year in accordance with our council meetings. And it's basically just an event for the public to come out and see some cool stuff that's going on in fisheries, eat some food, win some prizes, and kind of, you know, connect with the fishing community and understand a little bit more about what the council does and the research that's been going on.
Well, and I think it's really important. I mean, Hawaii, obviously, we're an island surrounded by water, but I think we probably per capita use or eat more fish than just about everybody short of Japan.
Oh, absolutely. Right? I've seen a lot of studies, especially with regards to the U.S. mainland, and we eclipse them in just per capita seafood intake.
Right. And now with the mainland, I'm seeing more poke shops. I'm making air quotes. Poke shops and stuff like that. So that whole culture has sort of propagated and started to really take hold. But because of that, it's also going to put more of a strain on what we're dealing with as far as our fisheries go. And it's not like we were doing awesome in the beginning, in the first place, right? So the fact that these extra added sort of markets are out there is very interesting, and I'm kind of wanting to find out how you guys are planning to help keep that managed. Thomas, first, can we kind of get into what you do at the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council?
Right. So the council is, you know, it's put in place by NOAA, and there's eight councils around the nation, each one for each of the eight regions. And basically, the council's mandate is to ensure that fisheries are harvested sustainably. So the council's job is, you know, we recognize that there are fishermen and communities that depend on the fish, but we also recognize that there are fish stocks that are, you know, susceptible to being overfished or to, you know, one of any, you know, many different consequences. But it's just our job to make sure that as harvesting happens and people are getting the fish that they want, that the stock is sustainably harvested.
So how does that happen? Do you guys take counts? Are the fishermen relied on their own to sort of say, okay, this is how many ahi I've caught, this is how many mahi-mahi I've caught, that kind of thing?
There's so many different ways, you know, just depending on the fishery, because there's a lot of different kinds of fisheries. So there's, you know, people fishing for tuna out on the high seas, then you got your friends fishing, you know, off the shore. You know, there's just a whole spectrum of different ways that you can go fishing. So there's a lot of different ways that we get information about it. So for instance, if you're talking about like the commercial fishers that are out there catching the tuna that you eat for your poke, there's logbooks, and, you know, there's regulations that say you have to turn in, you know, your logbook data to the managers so that they're able to see what's going on with the tuna stock and make sure that there's going to be enough tuna able to be fished next year, so people don't ask where's the poke around the holidays, right?
Right, exactly. I'm sorry. I'm gonna dive a little deeper into the whole ahi thing, because I think for a lot of people, I mean, I can go up the street and there's like four or five different places where you can buy poke.
Absolutely.
And the majority of it is ahi poke.
Yep.
You know, the holidays come around, everybody wants to grab some, and so I just keep wandering around thinking, how do you guys manage this kind of stuff? How do you guys say, okay, this is the amount of? I mean, is it a weight thing? Is it a number of fish caught? Is it everything all at once? Sorry to dive into the
minutiae. No, yeah, you're just going to say, you're getting into the nitty-gritty there.
For the regular person who's listening right now, you know, you walk out in the store and you go, oh, okay, well, I can go to Nico's and get myself an ahi steak, and that's not a problem.
Right.
I can go over here and get some poke, but you think to yourself, okay, wait, because it's not all coming from the same fish. It's all different fish. So.
Yeah, it's all different fish, and, you know, all those different pieces of information that you talked about, so it's about weight of fish, or the weight of the fish caught in a given time period, you know, the length of those fish, you know, where they were caught, how long did it take to catch that amount of fish? That's a big one that we use, is how many trips did the fishers go out to get the same amount of fish that they normally get, or how many hours were they fishing? Because you can catch, you know, more than you caught last year, but if you fished, you know, 10 more days to do that, then that's a loss, you know, in effort and revenue for the fishermen. So there's a lot of different factors to consider. And basically, this is what we get into. We call looking at like whether the fish are healthy or not, we call them stock assessments. We're assessing whether the fish stock is doing well or it's doing a little bit more poor. And like I said, we basically collect all these different streams of information, like the number of fish caught and the weight of those fish caught, in addition to some information from visual surveys that don't have to do with the fisheries, just people looking for, you know, when do they breed, how old do they get, how big do they get, you know, are we catching them at their biggest size, or are these a smaller sized fish that we're catching now? So there's a lot of different pieces of information that can kind of come together to create a good idea of what's going on for a certain stock.
Now, would you say for Hawaii and the fisheries here in Hawaii, are we more informed? Are we less informed? Are we getting better about it? What would you say? I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot because it's not like you're speaking for the whole fishery. But I'm just curious because it would be interesting to note if, you know, growing up, I grew up having to fish.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, you always learned how to do it. I think, you know, the Hawaiian the Hawaiian culture is always very much making sure that the stocks stay well stocked, that there's always fish for tomorrow, not just fish for today.
And there's a cultural history of that in Hawaii, right, too. And it's about you maintaining that and making sure that that tradition of sustainability is carried forward, I guess, more than anything.
I mean, do we do okay? Are we learning more? Are we in terms of the other fishery areas? How are we doing?
We're getting better. That's the best I can say, is we're getting better. It's about, there's not a lot of information, there's not a lot of data in our region, maybe relative to other regions where you have, you know, the big cod fisheries in off New England where they were hit first. You know, they were regulated right away and kind
they
of
had to, right?
Yeah, I mean, they had really to, because those stocks absolutely collapsed and they couldn't, you know, they couldn't catch fish, you know, at all. So they had to go in and emergency manage that kind of stuff. And the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that fisheries management, when I say, you know, fisheries management, it's us and the scientists, and the managers making sure that the stocks are healthy from year to year. And that didn't really start until the late 70s. People don't realize that fisheries management's a new thing.
Yeah.
And then up until the late 70s, you know, it was just
kind of a free-for-all.
Yeah. And we had foreign vessels in, you know, U.S. waters fishing out, you know, what we'd call U.S. stocks now. And, yeah, it was just more of the wild, wild west, let's say. So since then, you know, there's no foreign fishing in U.S. waters, and we're able to collect a lot more data. So we're able to get a better idea of what's happening, what's happened in the past, and what might happen going forward. Mm. So I don't want to give an explicit answer. Maybe, you know, say, hey, we're at an 8 out of 10 right now. But
well, it can always, the key is we're better, but it can always get, right?
Yeah,
they can always be more. We can always, right?
That's what I would say. And the main issue, especially with Hawaii, it's so much different than the rest of the regions, right? So we're dealing with a lot of coral reef fisheries, you know, thousands of species, hundreds and thousands of species. Where you look at New England and, you know, some of the East Coast fisheries, they're looking at a dozen species that they really care about.
Wow.
And we're realizing that we have hundreds that people are catching. And this creates, you know, issues on top of issues with, you know, oh, are they identifying the species correctly when the data is being submitted? You know, there's so many people out that are fishing, and we have no idea if they're fishing. You know, that data just gets lost into oblivion.
You just
right?
see pictures on Facebook of a guy with like 20 fish.
Right, and you know,
wait a second.
Right. People have tried to scrape data from like those kinds of.
Really?
Yeah, so people realize that, you know, a lot of fishers are stoked, and they post their catches online. They have certain areas or forums where they aggregate and post their photos or try to sell their catch. And there's been attempts to try to scrape that data and see if we can't get information that we don't already have from, you know, recreational fishers selling their catch or showing off their catch. Yeah.
Mm, interesting.
We got our hands in a lot of different cookie jars trying to make sure, because we know how important the resource is. A lot of people might not think about it, but the resource is vital for Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people don't think about it. Fish is what Hawaii produces in the most out of everything. In terms of agriculture, you know, there's not a lot of mac nuts, no sugar and pineapple like there used to be. But, you know, we produce $120 million worth of fish a year. And that's,
wow.
Yeah, and that's, it's one of the biggest industries that Hawaii can support. And, you know, it's local sustainable fish, as we like to say. You know, we're watching the stocks, we're managing them. We're making sure that nothing drastic is happening where there's going to be negative consequences. Mm-hmm. So we like to tout that we're trying to sustainably harvest, and we're doing so in a way that, you know, is vital to Hawaii.
Yeah, definitely. And it will keep things going for the future, which is the most important part. Once again, we have Thomas here with us from the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council. Also here with us is Ruhul Amin, who's with NOAA, with the Pacific Islands Fisheries Science Center. And he's actually sort of here to talk about something that the Fishers Forum is going to get into, which is fishing in the future, which is some of the emerging technologies. So Ruhul, if we can talk to you about that a little bit.
Sure. So my main goal is to, like, you know, study fish without killing them. you know, can we do it using technology, for example? So currently we are using this system called Mouse. It's basically a stereo system. It's a digital stereo system that can go up to 500 meter and you can collect data. Here in Hawaii, though, you can see up to like about 300 meter with ambient light. So we use like very low light cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And so once, you know, we collect enough information, it's, since it is stereo, you can tell, you know, how big they are, how far away they are from the camera. And you can also, you know, identify which species it is. So we're using that technology operationally for bottom fish currently.
So you just put this on a boat,
yeah,
aim so it down and...
Yeah, it's a, like relatively small modular technology. So you can like, you know, swap parts and so on, and you can drop it from a small boat. So idea is to like make them cheap enough so a fisherman or anyone can drop it and collect as much data as possible. And you can collect like other information as well, like, you know, seafloor and, you know, reef status and things like that.
And so, how long have you been working with NOAA in this capacity?
About 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this project started around 2011, I believe, but it became operational around 2016.
And the idea was to try to count the fish without having to go around and say, okay, which fish did you catch? And this way you can say, okay, we're looking at the actual ocean and saying, okay, there's this fish here and this fish there. And then that way you can kind of combine the data so that you have a better picture, right?
That is correct. And also, like, another goal was if area is protected, obviously you cannot go and catch fish. So how do you study fish? So you can use this sort of technology to collect data and sort of, you know, get an idea, you know, what's going on there.
Where was the idea for using this technology? Because that just sounds like, you know, Star Trek, Star Wars stuff.
Well, so stereo technology has been around for a long, long time. It's, you know, it's used in all sort of field. Even like NASA uses it to, like, you know, sort of understand topography of Mars, for example. But when you're looking at fish, it is a little more complicated. First of all, you are looking at like 200-300 meter depth, and there's not enough light. And at this point, we don't want to put light yet because we want to study them in their natural environment. So low light is one of the challenge. And other challenge is that if you were in Mars, for example, your target is not moving. So even if both of your cameras are not synced properly, you're still going to get good idea about the distance and so on.
Yeah, but a fish isn't going to
fish
stay still.
Gonna move.
Say, hey, we want to measure you.
Right.
Just stay right there. Yeah.
So both of your camera has to talk and they have to take, like, you know, images at the same time. So it was a very challenging part, but we overcame that. And now our cameras, you know, they talk to each other and they collect data exactly same time. And, you know, we can change it depending on species. So let's say some species might require like 2 frames per second. Other species, they swim really fast. So you might want to, you know, collect 12 frames per second videos. And we have that capability. So our, you know, system is modular, it's programmable, so you can do all sort of like cool things.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, and we are also looking at another. So one of the problem with current system is that this camera, they have about 82 degree field of view. So you only see what's in front of you. You have no idea what's going on behind you. So we are looking at 360 degree technologies. So recently we came up with this 360 degree camera system called Moana 360 degree. That's what we named it. And it's
I'm sure the people at Disney are very happy about that.
Right. So it's actually very, like, you know, clever design. So we just bought some like off the shelf like dome, and we came up with a housing design, and we designed it such a way so we can buy any off the shelf 360 degree camera and we can mount it in the house, in the housing. And so we tested like about like 10 different off the shelf 360 degree cameras, and we came up with the one that's right for us. And recently we collected some data on bottom fish. I think deepest we can see about up to like 250 meters. And so we are analyzing those data and trying to figure out, like, you know, what's going on behind mouse camera.
Hmm.
And so that technology is going to help us, like, better understand, you know, species behavior and so on.
So how deep are you going on this? I mean, you're talking about bottom fishing, but I mean...
Correct. So at this point, we can go up to, let's say, on a good day, about 300 meter. Like, if it is...
Wow.
Day is clear, you can see, you know, pretty good videos at 300 meter.
Mm.
But bottom fish is found beyond that.
Yeah.
And so we are looking at another technology. So we are trying to put, for example, at deeper water, there is not enough like blue or, you know, blue light. I'm sorry, there is not enough red or green light because, you know, water is absorbing it. So we are trying to add like, you know, colored light capability that's, you know, that our bottom fish should be insensitive to red light. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to put like, you know, specific wavelength specific red light and see if we can go beyond, 250 meters or 300 meters.
Are there specific areas, are you sticking mostly to Oahu or are you going to the different islands?
No, Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
Currently also we cannot collect data at night and some species are active at night.
Right.
So if we, you know, have this light technology, it's going to help us collect data at night and also at deeper water.
And was the idea to make it, off the shelf specific? Because it just makes it easier for you guys to operate the program. You can say, okay, we'd lost that camera over there, so let's just replace it with this one that we got from Best Buy, and we're good.
Well, so we try to use modular systems, so if one part breaks, you know, we can just replace it.
Yeah.
And our cameras are like, you know, as long as it is like low sensitive, you know, low light camera, mm-hmm. we can buy it from anywhere. But we try to stick to like, you know, like one type of camera, so data is not biased.
Oh, right, yeah, exactly.
But goal is to use more off-the-shelf components. So, you know, it's going to be cheaper, it's going to be more user-friendly. So that's our ultimate goal, but sometimes it just doesn't work out that way, so we have to, you know, custom build certain things. So our current DVR is custom built, but for next version, we are looking into off-the-shelf DVRs and see if we can, you know, make it like small enough and, you know, so we can collect data and make our instrument cheaper and lighter.
Okay. So, Rahul, you take this information, you take it over to Thomas and everybody over at Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council. and you guys kind of combine the data? Do you pull out what you can? Or is it more just sort of a, okay, this is kind of what we think is happening right now? It's sort of a, you know, more of an average than a, you know, than an exact...
So we, I mostly like develop technologies and I sort of like, you know, transition it, transfer it to a scientist so they collect data. So I have a group at the Pacific Island Fisheries Science Center. They analyze all the videos. So basically they come up with numbers, like, you know, what species it is and how many are there, you know, what's their size and so on, that goes into stock assessment model and that spits out a number that goes to Thomas.
Right. So like I was saying, so this is a good example of one of the streams of information that comes in. So we have, you know, what fishers are catching, but we're looking for outside streams of information. And this is a great one because, like you said, getting the fish in their natural habitat, getting a full 360 degree view if possible. So there's valuable numbers and valuable data that can be drawn from that are then folded into the stock assessments. And then once we get numbers from stock assessments, those are passed along to the council, right? And that's where we manage the fishery. So the stock assessment says, hey, the fishery is doing really well, the catch was good last year for how much effort there was and stuff like that. Then, you know, we don't necessarily flag it and we can have a higher catch limit, you know, for the fisheries that have catch limits. So basically the data then determine how the stock is managed, right? So Rahul and his team, they have the mouse camera that goes down and collects the data. Then they have the people that watch the videos and they write down the numbers of how big the fish are and how many they estimate are there. And then those numbers get folded in even more. So it's a very tiered process, but it's worked out so far, I think. You know, and just like in how I was saying, the fisheries management that's been in place since the late 70s, it seems to have been working. And as we're doing more and more stock assessments with better and better data, we're starting to get a better picture of, you know, oh, the bottom fish are doing really well, the Kona crab aren't doing as poor as we thought, you know, with this new data and things like that.
Interesting. Once again, we're here at Hawaii Matters talking with Thomas and Rahul. Now, Thomas is from the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council. And Rahul is with the NOAA Pacific Islands Fisheries Science Center. And they're kind of, they're telling you to come down and check them out at the Fishers Forum, which is called Fishing in the Future, Emerging Technologies and Fisheries. It's happening Tuesday, June 25th from 6 to 9 p.m. over at the Ala Moana Hotel Hibiscus Ballroom. We're about 20 minutes in, so if you don't mind, I want to kind of focus a little bit on the agenda here and talk, deep dive a little bit into what you folks are planning to do at the forum.
Sure.
if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
So the first thing I see, well, I mean, you've got registration and refreshments and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. So we don't want to skimp on that. You know, there will be poo-poos for people to come and enjoy. You know, we don't want anyone to have an empty belly while learning about fisheries. So right. Make sure to take advantage of that.
What can people expect to find out when they come to this?
People can, you know, expect to learn about new technology, not only to fish, but how, like, you know, Rahul's been talking about how fish can be managed using technology. So it's just our theme. You know, there's gonna be a lot of information in general about fish and fisheries, you know, at the council table and a few of the other exhibitors that we have there. We have lots of informational booths around where you can pick up information from, you know, Hawaii Fishing News and Pacific Island Fisheries Group and places like that. But the presentations themselves are really going to give people an insight as to what are some new developments in fisheries, you know, what are technologies that are coming out that are, you know, moving us through the 21st century, you know, with tablets and new types of gear to catch the fish and camera systems that allow us to use data and all these different things that are really new and exciting, which, you know, might not seem high tech, but are definitely high tech in the realm of fishing per se.
Yeah, I noticed you've also got the longline fishery stuff in here, and I know that over the years, the longline fishery sort of they've been kind of cast with a bad light to a certain extent, right? People say, "Oh, they're just coming in; they're wiping out all the fish and all that kind of stuff," which is not really necessarily true, because they are learning more effective ways to fish, I guess more responsible ways to fish.
Yeah, more. Well, I mean, so it is our job to ensure that happens, right? Yeah. To ensure that they aren't wiping everything out. They are still fishing, but doing it in a sustainable way. So, right. Yeah.
So that, hopefully, I mean, we're doing that. That's cool. So those guys are going to be there. So, you know, I mean, you got the longline industry there. You're also going to have people who just like to fish off a boat, to stand on the reef someplace and, you know, throw a net or use a pole.
Absolutely. So most of the research that's done and that, you know, we will present is done on commercial fisheries, but we absolutely recommend that, you know, if you just like fishing recreationally, if you're a weekend warrior, to come on out. There's lots you can learn about the fish that you're catching, you know, different techniques and just different things that you can learn about that you might not necessarily be thinking about.
Let's get back into fisheries and the whole idea of trying to keep the stocks safe, because I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. And I'm sorry, I haven't fished in a very long time. So, you know, I only know what I hear from friends,
right,
who do fish. And they say that as recreational fishermen, that it can, depending on where you go, it can be harder and harder to find fish. So is that what you folks are finding as time has gone on, or has the fishery sort of replenished itself more? I mean,
well, it's hard to, I mean, it's different by species to species and area to area, right? So it's hard to just, you know, get one answer out to that. But it is an issue that, you know, something that is taken into consideration when thinking about all this is shifting baselines. And when I say that, I mean, you know, you have a guy who's a little bit older who's been fishing every day. And, you know, he's able to see the change over time and, you know, hey, this is different. Whereas you get a new guy coming in and goes, hey, this is normal for me, this lower amount, or, you
right,
know.
Right, yeah.
So it's hard to, you know, take those kinds of data, let's say, quote unquote data, you know, from people, the anecdotes. You have to try to take them into account, but it's hard to quantify certain things, especially.
Yeah, so by the way, speaking to that, from on a personal level, I grew up on the Big Island.
Mm.
We used to go to Pipekil. And Milolii to go fishing, right? So
yep.
I remember as a boy standing on a reef and throwing out a single line, not even with a reel, and just catching fish. And then I came to Oahu when we moved here, and somebody said, okay, let's go fishing. And fishing consisted of us walking out to a pier and throwing out a line with a reel, and then, you know, nothing happening. And just sitting there, and I was like, oh, this is fishing? Okay, I get it. And it was interesting, because that very thing that you're talking about, which is it becomes a difference in experience, right? Because you go, okay, I remember fishing like this, but fishing like this now is going to be different, and you kind of have to build that in. And it goes, especially for trying to keep the fisheries, I guess, stocked, right? Whereas at one time you'd get on a boat, you go, you fish as long as you want, you catch as much fish as you can bring, and you bring it all back with you. And now you kind of have to go, okay, wait, let's stay out for a couple hours. Let's catch, I don't know, 10 or 15 of these things, and we're done. And we bring it back home. I mean, is that kind of what we're talking about?
I mean, well, it can be. You know, there are incentives for the fishers to be thinking about this, right? So mm-hmm. there's incentives for them to ensure that there's enough fish for them to catch next year. And they're not exerting too much effort, too much cost on their expenses to catch the same amount of fish or the amount of fish they need to catch to stay afloat, per mm-hmm. se. So, yeah, there's a lot of different things to think about in that sense. And another thing that I wanted to touch on, you know, with you're talking about, you know, just fishing from shore, is just how big a part of the culture it is here. And if, you know, you just drive down the highway, you'll always see someone just off the pier, off the bridge, right. On the shoreline. You know, I'll go out and camp at Yokohama, and, you know, there'll be a half dozen guys there, each with a dozen poles, you know, fishing overnight, and I'll hear their little bells go off, right? So there's this whole, you know, we have the commercial guys that are going out in, you know, the big long line boats, and they're going out and they're catching things off in the middle of the ocean. We're also thinking about the people that are not trying to villainize anyone here. Just also think about how you have tons of people that are fishing in the close in stocks from shore too, just, you know, as a part of how important fishing is for the island. So, you know, there's been efforts, you know, we're trying to get our data on that front as well, you know, try to determine how things are going. If there's fish that, you know, are out, you know, in federal waters that come in close to shore, we're trying to figure out if they're doing well as well. You know, that's more in the state's territory, but we have some vested interest in that as well.
Well, I mean, how is that going? Just out of curiosity, I mean, between the longliners and the guys who do, you know, who are selling fish on the side of the road, and the people who are just, like you said, they're standing on a pier someplace and fishing. I mean, has there been... have they been getting better about communicating with each other and saying, hey man, we need to work together to try to get this done?
You know what, actually I think so, and I think it's just, you know, a long time of education and finally being able to get the point across that it's not you give up your information about how much you caught or where you caught them, and then like your fishing area is now uncovered, right, and everyone can go fish where you fish, or that we're going to slap you on the wrist and say no more catching that fish, yeah, or no more catching this as much of that fish.
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize is that it's garbage in, garbage out. So if we have bad data, then we're not able to manage as well, and we have to be more conservative and restrictive. Whereas if we have good data, then, you know, there's a lot of instances where like catch limits will go up. We're like, oh, the fishery's doing better than we thought. So there's a really good example that happened recently with Kona crab, and that fishery is, you know, kind of crash and burned in recent years due to there was some stock assessments that said, hey, it's not doing too well. There were regulations that were put in place that made it prohibitive to go fishing for the Kona crab. So it kind of fell off as being one of these species that people actively try to go get. But there was a recent stock assessment that was taking into account more data that wasn't available at the time of the first stock assessment, and it went, wait, the Kona crab aren't doing as bad as we might have said, you know, a couple of years ago when we didn't have all the information. Now we have better information, and we think that it's okay if the catch limit's a little bit higher for the crab.
Oh, wow.
So maybe you guys can go out and you can catch a little bit more. You make it more lucrative, you know, to actually participate in the fishery, because if it's not lucrative, then people just won't do it, you know, on the commercial side of things.
Yeah.
So it's just, people always think, hey, I'm giving my data up, this is going to end up bad for me in one way or another, you know, I just don't want to participate in this. But if you're able to, and we get more information and better information, we're able to more accurately and manage and allow people to, you know, for the fishers, we're able to let them fish more, and for those interested in conservation and sustainability, we're able to better ensure that a stock is being managed as such, because we know better what's going on. That's essentially it.
That's awesome. Wow, terrific. Okay, so believe it or not, we're almost out of time. So I want to circle back around real quick, just let people know, once again, Hawaii Matters, we're speaking with Thomas and Ruhul, Thomas from the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, Ruhul from NOAA and the Pacific Islands Fisheries Science Center, and they're here because Fishing in the Future, which is a fishers forum, going to be happening June 25th over at Ala Moana Hotel. It's talking about emerging technologies in fisheries. Sorry, Freudian slip there. And Ruhul actually is going to be speaking about advanced technologies for bottom fish research, which is really important. My grandfather used to be a bottom fish fisherman. So I remember going out with him, and it's kind of cool that you've got this new technology that allows cameras to get into the water and sort of see what 360, is that right?
Well, so we're not,
or to be 360 soon?
Eventually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so we are sort of like trying to figure out, like, do we even need 360 degrees? Mm. Like, the current technology is working perfectly fine, but there have been some concern, hey, there might be, you know, fish behind it. But we do put bait in, you know, in front of the camera. So, you know, typically most of them are in the front.
They're like, hey, we want that.
Right. So we want to, like, you know, sort of like, you know, use 360 degree cameras to sort of, you know, understand if there are fish behind it or not.
Okay.
Are you going to use stereo 360 degree cameras? You know, we don't know yet.
Right.
It's possible.
Very cool. And also on the docket there, Caleb McMahon from Hawaii Fresh Seafood will be speaking about engineering bycatch solutions in the Hawaii longline fishery. Carl and Matt Jellings, a local Akule fisherman, talking about using drones to identify fishing areas, which is cool.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Jim Hori will be from Lokahi Fishing Applications, connecting fishermen to fishermen and fishermen to fish, which is good.
Yeah, that's all about a new
fish to my belly.
Yeah, a new like tablet phone application that he's using to report data. You know, if you're just out on the, you want to record your own data, you can start doing that. You want to share it. It's a fun method to do. Oh, so
awesome. Also, Tim White with Global Fishing Watch from Monterey, California, actually, is going to be speaking about tracking fish in fisheries for ocean management.
Absolutely. So yeah, a lot of great technology-based presentations, and we'll have booths and prizes. You can come listen to Rahul talk about his awesome cameras. It's going to be a great time. So we invite everyone to come out and you know, win some prizes, eat some food.
Now, do people need to register, or can they just come down?
Nope, they can just show up. Ala Moana Hotel, June 25th, Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Okay, come down and check it out. Rahul, Thomas, thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it. Hope it was it was really informative for me, so that was cool. Any last things you want to mention?
We just want to let everyone know that we are here to help the fish and to make sure that there's fish for everyone to eat during the holidays.
Awesome. Once again, it's the Fishers Forum, Hawaii. It's happening. It's called Fishing in the Future. It's called Emergency Technologies and Fisheries. I know, that's a lot of stuff. But it's happening Tuesday, June 25th, 6 to 9 p.m. over at the Ala Moana Hotel Hibiscus Ballroom. It is absolutely free, so just come down and check it out. Say hello to Thomas. Say hello to Rahul. Say hello to Amy, who's being quiet and just hiding in the corner over here. This is Devin. Thank you so much for joining us for Hawaii Matters, and we will see you next week. Aloha.